Welcome back to the Jennifer Hammond Show on SiriusXM Urban View.
Welcome back, welcome back. This is Jennifer Hammond. And as you know, we're doing this series on smart homes. And, you know, the good, the bad, and the ugly. I'm so passionate about making sure you get the information you need to make good decisions in real estate. And there are so many different aspects to this new technology that we're finding in our homes. And there does seem to be a few horror stories, but there's so many wonderful aspects about it that can really help people. And so I have another wonderful guest who's joining us today, Brett Kinsella. He is the editor of VoiceBot AI. So welcome to the show, Brett.
Jennifer, it's a pleasure to be here.
I'm so glad to have you. I know that you kind of specialize in voice assistants. So one of the things is we have a lot of people that talk about, you know, the voice assistants, you know, don't always recognize their voice. And I know you know a little bit about how many people are utilizing them. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I can talk about both those topics. So first of all, I just commissioned a national survey on smart speaker ownership, and we looked at how many people in the U.S. have these. It's about 19% of U.S. adults have access to these, and then you can round that up to over 50 million people, particularly including children. So there's a lot of people out there that have these, and you know, think about it, just a couple of years ago, almost nobody did. And most of the research firms expect about 55% of homes in the U.S. to have the smart speakers and smart home controls in the next 3 to 4 years. So this is something that's moving very quickly, and the market in part is moving quickly from a real estate standpoint. It's precisely because consumers really like it. It's something that they can access quickly with their voice. They can get the weather. They can listen to music, which are really popular. And then you have the smart home controls, which allow you to have that more automated life.
And definitely. And I find with real estate agents in general, we're always trying to find different ways that technology helps us and makes things easier in one way or another. But I also find that different age groups really like it. I found it's interesting. There's some millennials that really love it because it is, again, they're so used to being on their phone and being able to control things where, you know, they can talk to whatever their voice activated one. But again, the technology is something that is so familiar. But I've also seen elderly people really like it if there is some kind of physical challenge that, again, being able to speak to one of the voice-activated things, again, to change the thermostat or things that might be a little bit more difficult, or, for instance, somebody who might be handicapped. What are you finding?
Well, it's such a great observation, Jennifer. We're seeing the same thing. So when these smart speakers first came out, you saw that it was really the Gen X group that was the first to adopt them significantly. And what that did is that exposed other people in the household to this. And then millennials have come up really strong in the last year and a half in terms of adoption because they're more accustomed to the voice interaction on their phone. They're expecting it at home as well. And they do like that connected lifestyle. But it's in many ways, it's the elderly, which is in some ways the most interesting aspect of the growth here. And there's a former colleague of mine, Paul Burden, who has a company called OurVoice.net, and he's in the D.C. area, and he helps the elderly at home in assisted living use the devices because they can no longer read, and so they can have books read to them, or it's just more convenient to, as you say, control the lights and other things. And what we saw from some ethnographic research in both the U.S. and the U.K., is that as these devices are introduced to the home, all age levels use them. Even over 70% of the elderly, if one is in the area, they will start using it. And the reason why? Voice is the most natural communication method. When you're older and it's tough to type, and you know, certainly can't type on phones typically these days, if you don't have that thumb dexterity in your older years, they can talk and they can have access to information and computing resources just where they are. They don't have to go to the laptop or the desktop that they might have in the other room. They don't have to call someone, one of their kids or grandkids more often to help them out. They can just access it all themselves, and it really gives them a significant sense of independence. And, you know, Paul Burden will talk about the fact that he gets all these people just saying, you know, really thanking him for giving them some of that sense of independence back.
Well, and I also think that, you know, I've had elderly family members and friends as well, who it's so nice to, again, be able to, a lot of that you can also share, and I could check on them to make sure that everything's going well. And I know that as the technology gets smarter and smarter, you know, it is really important. I have heard, you know, that it is sometimes Alexa or different ones that you talk to, they don't always recognize your voice. Do you think that that's going to change a bit over the future?
Well, yes, and it already has changed. So there's a couple different things when people talk about not recognizing your voice. One is, does it recognize what you're saying? And, you know, this idea that we have different speech patterns, different accents, and so the device might not be able to understand everyone equally. And, you know, if you look at both Amazon with the Alexa product and Google with the Google Assistant product, they have tools where you can actually train it. So you just go into the settings, you do this training, and it will significantly improve the capabilities of the device in order to be able to understand people. The second thing is both of those organizations, both Google and Amazon, and I think we should talk about both of them because they both have very similar capabilities in many ways.
Mm-hmm.
They both have the ability to recognize individuals within a household. And so, for example, you can ask it for your calendar. If you've done the voice training and it recognizes your voice, it'll give you your calendar and not your wife's or your child's calendar or something like that. And down the line. And I expect a lot more of that personalization going forward. It is really quite good now. It's a lot better than it was, you know, even 6 or 9 months ago.
And technology obviously is always changing. One of the things that I was talking about earlier was, so what happens, you just said it, the technology is changing and it's gotten better and better. So those updates, can they just come over the Wi-Fi?
Well, it's even better than that, than the Wi-Fi, because what happens is most of the intelligence actually lives in the cloud.
Mm.
And so it's not on the device itself. Now, they can do updates on the device, and then you have a mobile app generally that you use to set up the device. And there are updates that either come to your app download or get pushed automatically to your device over time. But more frequently, it's the little changes they're making every day, at least every week. And we talked to the Google folks about every week they're pushing a major update. And that's what's making these systems smarter. And when you talk to the device, it's not really listening to you all the time. It's only listening to hear if the Alexa wake word is spoken or the Hey Google wake word is spoken. And once it recognizes that at the edge, then it actually goes to the cloud and says, hey, we should expect a request. And then that request might be to turn on the lights. It might be to ask for today's weather. It might be to ask for the weather in 1942 on December 7th. I mean, there are Alexa skills that will even tell you those things. Really, really fascinating stuff. But that's what the cloud is really where most of the updates happen. And then there's a little bit that comes to the devices. But the key thing there is what we're seeing with these smart speakers is you don't have to update them like you would like a cell phone or a laptop every 2 or 3 years, because most of the intelligence is elsewhere. You know, at this point, that if you have one of these devices, they should last you a long time.
And most of them, are you finding, I know we were talking about the two different ones, so do you find that they're integrating with other systems? You know, there's so many smart items that you can have for the home, from a smart coffee pot to, you know, your lights. Are you finding that they're integrating very well with them?
Yes, absolutely. So if you look at both Amazon and Google, they have over 1,000 listed smart home integrations, and so those would be all your appliances. I was just at CES in Las Vegas, the Consumer Electronics Show.
Oh, I always want to go to that. That's such a cool, futuristic thing.
Oh, you should go.
Oh, how cool.
Yeah. No, so go next year. They have it every year, right? It'll be even more amazing next year. But so, you know, I was with, you know, LG has all their new televisions have Google Assistant integration. Samsung has integrated it with televisions, with refrigerators, with dishwashers. Philips has all their lighting. GE now has a smoke alarm that actually has a light in it and an Alexa integration as a microphone. So you don't even need to have something on your table. You can just put it in the light fixture. So there's all these things are coming out now. And what we're going to find is that things are really changing. And I should stress this. The change we're talking about is as important as what we saw with the internet and connectivity. And that's hard to believe.
Yeah.
If you think about it and how much our life has changed since then, it's as important as mobile, because what it means is we're going to be able to talk to things. We're going to be able to use our voice to interact with devices, to gather information, and we'll be able to do it hands-free, eyes-free, faster. So this is a really significant change. And, you know, companies like Amazon and Google are really leading the charge in the consumer space to bring this to the masses.
Well, and I'm going to take a little bit of a curveball with you, but similar to what we're talking about with the elderly, I do a lot of volunteer work with veterans, and one of the charities I work with, we build specially adapted homes for veterans who are handicapped. And, you know, most of them, they might have brain injuries, but a lot of them are physically missing arms and legs. And, you know, some of the smart home technology, when I think about it, it makes me so happy in the fact that, unfortunately, some of the veterans are alone. They don't have a family or anyone around that can help them with things. So being able to have smart home technology that could help them with a lot of things that we just completely take for granted, you know, like if you did need to change in the middle of the night, maybe something's happened physically and now you really need to get the temperature changed. But finding your leg and putting it on and getting up to change your temperature, or, you know, some of the other technologies that could be integrated in it, you know, maybe your vacuum cleaner or things of that nature. So what do you see for things like the handicapped or veterans?
Well, I see a lot of the same things I think you're alluding to. So we're seeing that today. One of the first things that you see the benefit for is the blind. And
wow.
So they don't have access to a lot of the information computing resources, at least ready access, that most of us have on our cell phone at any given time. And now they can just speak and get the information. So that's really a wonderful opening for them to have a richer and more convenient life. And, you know, I hear people say all the time, they're like, well, why do I need to ask Alexa to turn off the light? By the time I say that, I could get up or walk across the room and turn off the light. Well, yeah, but as you say, just getting up off the couch is not as easy for everybody. And so, you know, there's this perception about enhanced convenience for, you know, all the fortunate to be fully able-bodied. But then there's also all these really significant benefits for people with disabilities. And, you know, you brought up the veterans. I'm really glad you did. There's really a wonderful Google Assistant app. So you can get it through Google Home or on your Android phone. You can just ask Google Assistant for it, or on iOS. You can download the Google Assistant app. A lot of people don't know that. It's really a tremendous app that a lot of people should try. But there's this thing called Bravo Tango, and it was put out by National Geographic and then a local company here in D.C., Zap Media, along with an agency partner, 360i. They built it. And what it is it helps returning veterans with mindfulness. So you think of like meditation and, you know, talking, and walks them through all these different things to alleviate stress, to get them more focused. And so, you know, these are other ways that these tools are helping veterans and frankly, everybody. I've tried it myself. I was not in war, so I don't have that type of stress, but it's really a wonderful thing. And National Geographic did that as part of a television show they're doing for The Long Road Home a specific incident that happened in Iraq several years ago. And they said, hey, you know, we should do something to give back to the veterans community. And they built this voice assistant app, and it's just perfect for veterans because anyone can access it, they can speak, and it really helps them in a way that a lot of people don't think about helping veterans.
Wow, that's fabulous. I'm going to make sure we post that up on the social media as well. I didn't know anything about that app, and I was just Googling it. It's amazing. It looks great. And I do think that, you know, again, having the voice assistance to help veterans and to be able to utilize things like an app like that, I never thought about using it in that way. That's fabulous. Thank you for sharing that.
Happy to. It's great work that was done by Zap and National Geographic, 360i. You like it. You know, we think about, you know, all the different things that are being done out there, and that seems like an important way to use the technology.
Absolutely. And I know we have a couple more minutes, and I wanted to make sure we talk about the future. What do you, I know you've done a lot about, you know, talking about smart homes in the survey that you just did recently. What do you see? You said that, you know, we're about 19% for smart voice assistance right now, and in the next 3 to 5 years, you expect, or they expect, that it'll go up to about 55%. Every home or half the homes in America will have some kind of voice assistant. What other things do you see at the future for having voice assistants in your home?
Well, a lot of things, but we are seeing the front end of a lot of the activity today that it's going to take a couple years for, I think, consumers to absorb all these new things. But I think there's a couple things to really point out. One is you're going to see them more interactive with the screens in your home. So, you know, you can already do this today. Let's say you have a Chromecast, you can ask Google to start YouTube, or you can ask it to start the television, or pull up Netflix. If you have a Fire TV stick or a TV that's enabled with Alexa, you can ask your TV to start, and you can bring up Prime Video and all these different types of things. So, you know, I think that there's a whole entertainment aspect that people are going to see a lot more of, and we're likely going to see more screens in different parts of the home. And some of this we see already with, like, the Amazon Echo Show. A lot of people like to have the security camera, particularly at the front doorbell now.
Yeah.
I think that's going to start becoming more standard. You know, Ring doorbell is really popular there.
Yep.
You know, what's great about these devices, you can just say, you know, Alexa, who's at the door? And it'll show you on your television screen or on your Echo Show. You'll be able to see what's out there. You don't even have to get up and go look. And, you know, think about that. You know, my wife's at home. Sometimes I'm not here, the kids. And she might say, geez, do I really want to go to the door and let people know there's someone here?
Right.
I don't know who's out there, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, we live in a really nice area, and you really shouldn't be concerned about that. But yes, in this day and age, you have to be concerned about something.
It happens everywhere.
That's why we have these. Yeah, that's why we have these things. So I think that is something that's really going to change. But I think the bigger thing that we're going to see is just the idea that we can use our voice and we can be anywhere. We can be on our phone. People are, you know, wearing, you know, these wireless earbuds now, so they always have access to audio and stuff like that. We can be in our home pretty much anywhere. We can be in our office building, and we can get access to essentially everything by voice. And it's not going to be like certain things are, you know, in your mobile, certain things are at home, certain things are at the office. It's all going to be connected because these voice layers actually reach into all these different parts of our lives, which are separate today. And we use separate devices and separate areas. Well, now we're going to be able to access all that same information. And, you know, as you indicated earlier, they're going to recognize our voices. And so we'll even walk into buildings and the device will recognize that it's us and will actually tailor the experience to us.
I do. I think the future is going to change a lot faster than most people think. There's so many jokes about it and kind of the sci-fi, you know, chaos, you know, it's changing so fast. And the things that we can do, again, as they get more and more simplified and integrated. And again, I didn't think about the blind. I know I definitely thought about veterans and the elderly, but the blind, this would be completely changing their entire world. So we're out of time. I can't believe, Brett, that went by so fast. So if people wanted to get a hold of you and follow you and learn more from you, how do they do that?
Just a couple quick things. You can go to voicebot.ai. So it's voice and then bot, like robot, voicebot.ai. So you can read about just about anything going on in voice and AI technology today. A lot of it's very accessible to your audience. So I try to explain things, you know, what it means. And so that's the number one destination on the web for that. I also have a podcast called the VoiceBot Podcast. And those are probably the best places to find me. Oh, you can find me on Twitter, at Brett Kinsella. So all those things are great.
Perfect. And we'll make sure we put that up on our social media as well. Brett, what a pleasure. Thank you for being on the show with us today.
Thank you, Jennifer. It was a pleasure. Thanks.
Always a pleasure. So find a way to make your home a little bit smarter. And as you know, I'm always encouraging you to find a way to make someone else smile this week. I'm Jennifer Hammond.